Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Sorry, Pastor. I had not yet started. Sorry about that. Just so that you do know, we are live on TikTok, the SID Media. We're also going to be streaming on Facebook and YouTube. You're not going to see visuals on Facebook and YouTube, but you will be able to hear us. So that's just for you to be aware of how we are doing things this morning. So we are available on multiple channels and you can tune in whichever way that you would like to. Pastor Velani Zita is the one who took us through this conversation, started out yesterday. We're looking at many hearts and one mission. In essence, the notion of what unity in the body of Christ looks like. And he shared five key principles. The pastor said fellowship, doctrine, truth, love, and mission is what is supposed to bring us together. The other very important thing that the pastor said yesterday is that you should not lose yourself. You don't lose your identity in becoming united, in the sense that you must be honest. We don't become unified in a manner whereby we have to compromise. We must still be truthful. And we spoke then about absolute truth and how that is what also leads to this unity that we have. I don't know if I summarized it well for you, Pastor, if there's something that you might want to add.
Yeah, well summarized. And we say, well summarized. Awesome. Nothing to add.
Okay, yeah. Excellent. No, then in that case, Muruti, I think let's continue in that conversation that we started, Izolo. We were looking at the church, and you gave us a history, and I think I had posed whether the church was ever unified, and you were sharing on that basis about whether we did experience unity in the church before, for us to say that we need to go back to having unity in the church. When did we lose it?
Okay. Based on our theme of unity, we said the truth or the word of God definitely is the one that unifies us. So the biblical answer to your question would be, yes, there was a time when the church was really beautifully united, especially after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Mm-hmm. For the Bible says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or teaching of the word and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. We find this in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And a few verses later on, the Bible says now all who believed were together. Remember, the answer, now this is an answer to Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17, verse 17, where we said, it says, sanctify them by your truth. The word is your truth. And I pray that this one shall be one. So here, Luke is now saying, you know what? Jesus' prayer has been answered. We are now unified. But now we may be asking silent questions as we've been doing yesterday. Was the early church, this unified church, was it really perfect? The answer, of course, is no. It was perfect, yes, in the sense that the biblical definition of perfect, that they were forgiving each other. But it was not perfect in the sense we use the English word today. So the answer is no. The early church was united, but was never perfect. There were still sinners in the church. There was still hypocrisy in the church. Remember Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5? There were also complaints, between believers. You know, Greek widows were favored, Hebrew widows were favored more than the Greek widows. There were also disagreement in the church over doctrine. You see this in Acts chapter 15. There were also false teachers that even Paul had to confront. So unity, the point here, unity was never meant to mean that a church is not going to have problems. Did these problems or conflict destroy the unity? We again said no. So you can see that those unity in doctrine, in love, in truth, in fellowship, in mission was what was uniting this beautiful, the church of Acts chapter 2. Mm-hmm. So we can see, yeah, the church was united, but what happened? That's the thing we can go on. But yes, it was united. Yes, it was united.
Yeah. So what did happen?
Now, we said this unified church or united church, it was not perfect, meaning there was conflict. But what kept them together was not the absence of conflict, but their submission to Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God's word. So the conflict arose now, but they came together to seek God's will. In Acts chapter 15, it ends this chapter with beautiful words that says, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and us. Notice, they did not ask what is popular. They asked what is God's will. So, but there's something also we have to be, the Bible is real. The Bible doesn't blush over everything as any other doctrine, a book of an organization or marketing strategy of an organization. They try to blush or to cover up. And then it tells us that, yes, this church did not remain united throughout history, as we are also seeing today. Why? There are challenges that came in. So the owner of the church says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, beware of false Christ and false prophets. Paul again warned, for I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Acts chapter 2, verse 29. And he added, also from among you yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. This is Acts chapter 20, verse 30. Yes, division was never God's plan, but it was something Christ and the apostles predicted, that as the church is going to go on, there's going to be some division. The church is not going to be united, and the reasons, we've already stated them. But now the other question, obvious, that will come, maybe you've got something to say, is did Christ's prayer fail then for unity? Or even, no, as we, everyone wants unity, did Christ's prayer for unity fail? What are your thoughts in some of those things that we have said before now? What do you think? Or any question?
Did Christ fail in his prayer for unity?
Yeah.
I'm going to say no, because firstly, I accept what you mentioned yesterday about how unity should not mean you compromise yourself or you compromise the standard of Christianity. Otherwise, you're losing a huge chunk of your identity, and that's only going to lead to a lot of frustration and a lot of resentment. Number two, did Christ fail? No, he also did not fail, because there's a lot of prophecies that show that towards the time of the end, or in the time of the end, a lot of things are going to go wrong. So we expect that things were going to go wrong there. There were a lot of prophecies that were going to take place after Jesus ascended to heaven. For example, as the message was spreading throughout the world, we know that there were kingdoms that were coming in charge after each other, you know, from Babylon all the way to Rome and the divided kingdoms. And so those kingdoms were eventually going to get to a point where there was going to be a lot of confusion in Christendom. So it was bound to happen, but to say he failed, I wouldn't say he failed. We could be united again, but we would have to go back to the original standard without compromising.
Yeah. So I also agree with you. Christ's prayer did not fail at all, because what we see that throughout history, God has always preserved a faithful person. Persons. Meaning, you know what? Wherever men and women surrender to him, remember, we now know the template of being united is continuing in the apostles' doctrine, the teaching of the word, in fellowship, in love, in truth, and in mission. Yes, disagreements may come up, but we solve them through the word. So, in other words, we know that God has always had a united, faithful people. Let me put it that way. Sometimes there were small remnant, a small group. Sometimes there were many, popular. he has never had been without witnesses or United Church. But the trick now is to find who among this group is the united faithful people of God. Revelation gives us, as we already said, that there will be God's faithful people in the end times we are living now. We can see with them, adding to some of the things we have, characteristics we have already said before, they will keep the commandments of God and they have a faith of or in Jesus. This is Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. In other words, the biblical answer. You don't want someone's answer. The Bible says, yes, there was a time where the church was visibly, you could see, united, especially in the apostolic church after the Pentecost. But that unity was never based on having perfect people or a problem-free church. It was based on believers being united in the apostolic teachings, the Holy Spirit, prayer, and the mission of Christ. There's many hearts, but one mission. Wherever the church remained faithful to God's word, it experienced what we will say, biblical unity. It might not be visible on the outside. Yes, because, you know, even the destructors of Christianity have said, yes, Christians also did genocide in the name of God. Even Paul, who later converted to Christianity, religion has also had its bad things. So there's not visible unity, but there's biblical unity. Because also violent men have come into the church also, and they want to solve things with violence. So whenever the church remained faithful to God's word, it experienced biblical unity. Whenever it departed from God's word, the division followed. And we know this, that's why the other question is that, why, if you're saying Christ is one, but why so are there so many denominations? Because people interpret the scripture also different from what God has said so, or even they add more authority than what the scripture has said. So that's why the...
Okay, I hope we don't lose...
Okay. Yeah.
We were losing you for a moment, Pastor. Really good points that you are making this morning. And I think they're going to really help us nurture our spiritual growth and help us build and understand, okay, this thing of a relationship with God and with other Christians should not deviate from the standard of the Bible. Pela Bible read, God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So the standard is not going to change just because we are in 2026. You know, it's still going to be consistent as it was in AD 1 or in BC 1 or whatever. It's not going to change at all from the very beginning of time. Now, when we talk about this unity thing, are we saying that unity is for each and every single Christian church? Yes, you mentioned that we've got a lot of different churches because people have interpreted the Bible differently, which obviously people from other religions will then question. So what Holy Spirit are you guys talking about if you are interpreting the Bible differently and not the same way? There's no Holy Spirit in Demos. But anyway, the question I'm asking is it each Christian church? So the Lutherans and must have unity amongst themselves as Lutherans at this particular local church. There must be, you know, unity of the Lutheran church and amongst the body of Lutherans. The Methodists, same at the local congregation as well as amongst Methodists around the world. The Adventists must have in each local church unity as well as unity amongst each other around the world. The same for the Catholics, the Presbyterians, the Baptists, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses like that. Or is it unity in the sense that the Christian religion should get to a point where it becomes unified? So Methodists and Baptists and Jehovah's Witnesses and Adventists and every different denomination that exists, Ushembe, you know, Abazalwane and all that, will get to a point where they become one as different Christian groupings?
Yeah. So that's the question that has been pondered upon. People are trying also, they've got initiatives to really answer Jesus' prayer on unity. But as we said yesterday, we must be careful on every human initiatives for all the denominations to be united. But what we know is that in John chapter 10, Jesus is clear. He talks about that he is the true shepherd. Yes, tonight's pastors were under shepherd, as Christian leaders were under shepherd. And he says, I have a sheep in different folds. When he says sheep, meaning those who follow him, his followers, they're in different places. He will call them. There's a time he will call them to come to him. They will hear his voice. So what is clear, it even says, there are even thieves here who did not come through me the door, but they jumped the fence, as it were, to come into his crowd, of meaning his church, his organization. Now, we notice one thing. In Acts, it is clear they're supposed to be teaching of the word of God faithfully on the Bible alone in totality and as first and last word in terms of faith and practice. Then we also say there must be fellowship. There must be truth and love. Truth must be said in love, but also love must express truth. And we talked about mission, telling others, go ye therefore. But in Revelation, we're also given that the characteristics of the end church, it will keep the commandments of God. So this is where we say, unity at what cost? The unity should be at the cost of truth. We must follow the truth as the Bible says. Remember, the commandments of God are clear. But we recognize that some will say, no, this one we cannot keep. So the answer would be, Jesus is already moving to unite his church once again before he comes the second time. And what are you looking for? You are looking for a church that has got those X characteristics. And you are also looking for a church that will be serious on keeping the commandments of God, as Revelation then points out the characteristics. And they must have the faith and the faith of Jesus. So yes, unity is not only among Adventists. Unity is not only among Catholics or Methodists, Presbyterian, etc. Unity will be under Christ. Yes, Tina, we've made a claim as Seventh Adventists that we are the visible representation of that unity. But that claim, we make it, anyone can test that claim. And we know that God has got people in these different churches, and we should love each other. But we should, one thing, be serious, be anchored in his word, and really have discussions. Not this thing of clap back that we see in social media. The word you, that's why Paul said to the young pastor, study to show yourself approved. A workman who's not embarrassed. So there are issues where we say, for example, the Sabbath is serious. It's a serious thing. It has never been, God kept it in Genesis, in fact, as an example. So we must take that serious. Yes, there are reasons. So what are you doing now? We are tracing, where did the other churches go wrong? Where did the other denomination interpret? Even us, there are things that we've interpreted wrongly. But as Acts chapter 15, let's go back to the word. And we hear the voice of God clearly. And remember, as we said, we'll be faithful to Jesus and his word and be filled by the Holy Spirit. So this is a discussion. It's not a forced matter, but presenting the word and following the word.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. What is simple is whenever the church remains faithful to God's word, it will hear the true shepherd's voice. And we'll be once again united before he comes. Mm. So it's the same foundation, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. Yes, we may differ linguistically, culturally, we may differ in terms of our personalities, but on the major ones, on the majors, we should be united.
Okay, all right. And unity is under Christ. It's not under a denominational name. I think that's super powerful. Sure. Mm-hmm. Have you say, contribute to the conversation? You may do so on our comment section, in our comment sections, or on our WhatsApp number, which is +27 73 470 3520. Okay, Muruti, in us then getting to a point where we move towards this unity that people want, can we talk about the family? In my mind, I'm assuming that this unity would start at home, you know, between the parents and the children, the extended family members, before you can expect it in other places. Or does that not matter?
It does matter, as we know that the family is the first church, and the church denomination, as we talk about, institutional, is made up of these families. But remember, the same dynamics will also operate. What is the family united on? Is it united? Respect, children, obey your parents in the Lord. You know, the Ephesians, it's always in the Lord. It's always in Christ. Also, as spouses, the issue of, yes, we are united, but we have to be, what I can say, our individualities. We are not supposed to sacrifice our individuality and conscience when it comes, how do you, in terms of hearing the word of God. So the foundations are the same. The word should unite the family. And Christ, one Lord, should unite the family. And the word of God being the basis of everything. In terms of, this is, we have to go and say, what is God's plan for the family? How are we supposed? So in the Bible, it's got good examples of families who were struggling, who also, you were united, had divisions. But how did they find unity in the word? In Christ. So you see, that's why Paul says, I need to know Christ and Him crucified, and I mean Christ. So the aspect here is, we may have different personalities. Mm-hmm. We may have different life in terms of food, what, and the other things, but we must be united in this, that yes, let's hear what the, let's go to the fireplace, or even around the table, or even within our WhatsApp groups now on social media, as a family, we may be away. Let's talk about, let's have family worship. But the family worship should be based on God's word. Let's exchange, and let the weak ones also ask, let the older one ask. But the issue is not, no, Kukalisa Mistratul, as we say in Southern Africa, as a father or a parent, but the gods should rule, but with respect and authority. Because also the same book will tell us to respect parents, to also not to injure the children. Mm-hmm. So definitely,
yeah,
but now, the family should start at home.
At home. But now, Muruti, mm-hmm. what happens if, like, so many families are dysfunctional, so many families don't have unity. If families are not able to achieve unity, then is this not a far-fetched idea that unity can be achieved in the church? You know, because the same leaders of the church, they struggle to lead their families, or their families have maybe lost respect for them because in Kambe, the things that they do, I don't know. But, you know, is it then something that is feasible, or it just becomes a conversation for the sake of, not achievable, because, you know, how do you expect to go and achieve something that in a very small space with your most intimate relationships, you can't get that, but you want it elsewhere. Like, isn't that kind of like delusion?
Okay. I think the aspect I talked about, there's always two, I would say, visible unity and biblical unity. We are most families, as you can know, they may not be visibly united because of certain aspects. Why? Both the family and the church. Because of the issue of the great controversy. Let's not lie. That's why we also say, to refer to the verse where Jesus said, if you are not agreeing on the word of God, there is high possibility that there's not going to be unity. Yes, the older one should also set an example of being, reflecting Christ, etc., etc. But also, you cannot avoid a situation where people, children choose. Remember the issue of love we talked about. People can choose to listen to the word, can reject or even accept. Even today, there are influences that affects also the family, beside the word of God, to be frank. I may be, as a father, listening to this. The children may be listening to that. And then that is what I'm saying, Guti. As long as you're not united in the word of what the word says, then there's going to be visible disunity. And as opposed to biblical unity. That's why the Bible also says, Jesus says, I've come also not to give peace to the family. So we are balancing issues here. What is clear is that unity will be achieved only when people are faithful to God's word, both all members of the family. And they are really living it out, because also hypocrisy people don't want, let's not lie. So that's why maybe children or others, people, only family members will listen to each other, because there's not being set a good example. And then, but also you cannot blame in this family of God, you cannot blame someone for not, for you for not reading the Bible and for you not to worship God, Jesus. We have to be real about that, because everyone is in a position to read the scripture for themselves. That we encourage. And that everyone should also have a personal relationship with God. Yes, we may have disagreements. And also, unfortunately, in those small spaces, disagreements and smaller disagreements may be magnified. So we must also be careful of that also. But the thing, hey, it's a very tricky. And the viewers may also chime in, and everybody may also say something, because we need to discuss this. It's not pastor saying this, but some of the principles we have laid, the framework, and then we can put flesh on that as we work forward, as we go forward.
Yeah, 100%. All right. And given the conversation that we have been having for the past 2 days, then, okay, how would you wrap it up? Ultimately, what does God want us to learn about this unity in the body of Christ? What are the key lessons that now we can start putting into practice after this conversation?
We must accept the infallible authority of the word of God.
Okay.
Only. Yes, we may have the other discipline, maybe reason, we may have logic, we may have tradition, how things have been done, or sometimes also experience what I'm going through, what I'm feeling. But by the end of the day, the scripture should be the one that really says, has the first and the last word in our faith and practice. Number two, visible unity for now seem to be impossible. But let me tell you, it's coming. Jesus is the shepherd is speaking to each and everyone who's reading scripture. And through the Holy Spirit, we are going to be united. People are going to move from all denominations and become one. Yes, they claim the church mix, which I believe is true, because the church is big. Our Seventh-day Adventist church is big on fulfilling these characteristics of the United Church of God. But also must be humble. There are many people who love God. Even some people are in different religions. They are being faithful to the word of God that they have. God is speaking to them. Sometimes we may not reach them. Sometimes they are going, the countries are not allowing us to preach the gospel to them. God is speaking to them. So let's love one another as the body of Christ. And any disagreement, let's go to scripture, like the Acts 15 church. And then also, there's one thing that we must be mindful of. The relationship with Jesus is a personal one. Someone said, God does not have grandchildren, but he has only sons and daughters. So it is upon each one of us to sit at Jesus' feet, hear his word, read his word, have devotional time. But also, one thing I take out of this is that we need to be united biblically, but we don't need to be perfect. There may be disagreements, and there are false prophets. Let's not lie. There are also ravenous wolves who have come into the flock who are not about Jesus, but for their own sake and purposes. Others are political players. Others are economic players. Others are so many organizations. And I know others have been hurt by the religion. Let's not lie. The track record of Christianity as a religion, in some places, there's been justified slavery. It has also justified inquisitions, killing of other people needlessly because they did not convert. That is not God's way of doing things. God will never force someone. But one thing for sure, the characteristics, continue in doctrine, in fellowship, in love, in truth, in mission. In these end days, we must keep the commandments of God and have a faith of or in Jesus Christ. This we can unpack the other days. But for me, God is working. And John chapter 10, he says, he is the true shepherd. All his followers will hear his word and will be united once again. And he will throw away the thieves. He is the one who chases. We cannot be in the business of chasing because people are cunning. But the word will really make a difference in us being united, and also for false prophets to also convert, to be converted back, and for us to see this is a false teaching. This is not what Jesus said. To be clear, without fighting. So the foundation is the same. The word of God, the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, Jesus Christ of scripture, and the Holy Spirit of scripture. That's the interpretation.
I love how honest you are in how you have responded to the questions. Before we let you go, Muruti, there is someone who is contributing to the conversation. Good morning, Abuti Tommy. Tommy, for my part, I cannot sufficiently bewail the condition of the Reformed churches who are come to a period in religion and will go no further than the instruments of their Reformation. The Lutherans cannot be drawn to go any further than what Luther saw. And the Calvinists, you see, stick fast where they were left by that great man of God, who yet saw not all things. This is a misery much to be lamented, for though they were burning and shining lights in their time, yet they penetrated not into the whole counsel of God, but were they now living, would be as willing to embrace further light as that which they first received. Muruti, that was a contribution from the great controversy being added to the conversation. Yeah.
Yes. Remember we said, so when you say the word, you must reform. The word will give you new truth, new light. In terms of saying this, the more you read the word, the more God impresses you on what he wants you to do. That's clear. That's why the word is central here. So he's saying also the issue of we are pastors, we are under shepherds. But we must be clear that we must point everyone to the true shepherd, who is Jesus Christ. And this type of Jesus Christ, there are many different types of Jesus Christ.
Oh.
There's Jesus Christ superstar, white, but we are talking about Jesus Christ as explained in scripture. Because this is why others were left in the Old Testament. They don't accept the New Testament. This is why others, they want this Jesus of the New Testament. So we need this total picture from scripture, 66 books. Mm. So he's correct in saying some other, there are great men who've been used and women who've been used by God. Some never didn't even keep the Sabbath. Some didn't have the whole truth. But whatever they heard God impressing on them, they acted upon it. That's why it is up to God. He's the judge. So he knows to judge people. Mm. But what is also, he says clear, is that his word should be authoritative. It should have the first and the last word. So even here in Africa, you've heard people say this is an instrument of colonization. But we know, yes, it was used. That's not the whole truth.
Okay.
Christianity even came before even colonialism came. So all of those the issues is when people selectively choose. But let's talk. Let's discuss. But one thing for sure, we must go pass through the pastor's word and go to the Bible. That's the total word. Mm. Always. Even here, discussing, people are listening. You go through, read as the Bereans did. They readily received the word of truth from Paul. But daily, they searched. Are these things so? So that's what is the good attitude, the Berean attitude to these things.
I 100%. I appreciate your contribution this morning. Let's continue the conversations as the pastor has pleaded of us to do. Let's talk. Let's try and make sense of it together. And I think one of the most important things I heard is the relationship with Jesus is a personal one. He does not have God does not have granddaughters and grandsons. He's only got children. That was really powerful. Pastor Zita, thank you so much for sharing. I don't know, maybe let's allow you to also share with other people how they can get a hold of you, those who might be seeking any type of intervention, extra resources for studying the Word of God. Please do share with the people how they can get a hold of you, Muruti.
Yeah, I'm on all the social media platforms with my name, Velani Zita. The hang is then, they can always inbox me. And basically I'm on Facebook, TikTok. Yeah, I'm all on those platforms.
Thank you.
And Instagram, Twitter. I'm there using my name, Velani Zita.
Velani Zita.
Velani Zita. Yeah, just that name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Thank you, Ntate Moruti. We pray blessings upon your ministry and wishing you a restful Sunday.
Same to you. May they also, may God bless you in your ministry and bless the listeners as we meditate on God's word and grow on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen and amen. Thank you. There we go.
Do you think the world is getting better or worse? Unsurprisingly, a huge majority of people today believe the world is getting worse. Maybe this global pessimism is the result of a culture bathed in bad news, or maybe we inherently know the earth-shaking truth presented at the heart of this book. Something is deeply wrong with our planet, and we are powerless to fix it. The Great Controversy not only unveils the origin of human degradation, but also discloses the titanic struggle raging below the din of pandemics and peril, corruption and carnage, murder and mayhem. In this astonishing work, you will discover that evil has a face, good has a champion, and sin has an end. If you want to prepare for the end of this world and the glorious world to come, you must read this book. Join the campaign to distribute millions of copies of The Great Controversy by Ellen G. White to people in and around your communities. Contact your local church for more information or text us at +27 73 470 3520. Adventist World Radio, SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.